You are listening to the place where sports opinions collide. This is Dead in Sports. My name is Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the line is BZ430B. What up?
What up? What up? What up, though? What's good?
Chilling. Also on the line is FIFO. FIFO, what's good, man?
What it do?
Cool. Before we kick the show off, I want to say to everybody listening, please subscribe to the show, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We got videos coming. Yeah, we got videos coming. So I'm starting to kind of think it through. It may be this show. I'll give y'all a little bit more. Maybe this show simulcasted, you know, live. So we'll see. I don't know. I can't say everything yet, but we're working on it. Something's coming for sure. Also, subscribe to Dead in Hip Hop. We just released two new reviews, Prime 2 and Rock Marciano. Check those out. Subscribe to the channel. As always, on YouTube, Dead in Hip Hop, everything. And, you know, the podcast family, man. Chris Platty, Strictly Hoop Talk, and then Strictly B-Ball Talk. The Technical File Podcast with Manny. And, of course, the homie 12 Kyle, the 12 Kyle Podcast. And last but not least, there's the Mike Still On Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe and check that out. Great episode coming tomorrow. I finished that one today. And I was cracking up, man. A great, hilarious show talking about Beyonce and guns. Crazy.
So,
yeah.
So listening to your intro, it just made me realize how much stuff we do. And all we trying to do is even give the people more. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
You see how much we love y'all, man?
That's right.
Trying to give y'all more.
That's right, man. Tell them, people.
Give y'all more, man.
Tell them.
Man. Yeah, man. You know what, man? We be spoiling them, Ken.
Yeah, really, yeah. Hey, support your boys, man. Patreon.com/deadinhiphop. Keep us going, man. Keep us going. The national championship was last night. It wasn't a close game, but it was definitely a exciting game, depending on who you rooted for. Filled with a couple of storylines that happened during the game, and then one that took place after the game, which we'll cover afterwards. But overall, B, like, what were your thoughts? And we're going to talk about the men, and we're going to also discuss the women game as well. What were your thoughts on the game, man? Villanova and Michigan.
It was what I imagined. I didn't think that Michigan was going to come out so strong defensively, like within the first 8 to 10 minutes of the game. Because the first 8 to 10 minutes of the game, it was looking like, okay, this is going to be a dogfight, a low-scoring dogfight. High score was going to be probably fit in the 50s. But, yeah, man, your boy, your favorite Wigger, he got off.
White ice. I call it white ice.
He got off, man, in that second half. Dante DiVincenzo went off for 31 points coming off the bench, man, for 5 for 7 behind the arc, 6 for 10, free throw line, and 10 out of 15 overall, man. And he filled it up. Like I said, the first half, you know, Wagner seemed like he was having his way down low, you know, with some crafty moves, crafty footwear that he was showing. Simpson was doing his thing. He sounded like defensively, him and Matthews seemed like they was locked in at the guard position. But it just, you know, once Villanova made the jumps and kind of calmed down, I think Villanova was a little nervous, a little bit. I don't know why. It seemed like they looked a little bit more nervous than Michigan did. But it's like once the nerves kind of, you know, rusted off of them and they kind of got going, it was a wrap. And then, like I said, on top of Dante starting to hit shots in that second, starting to drain in the second half. Like, and to be honest with you, once the second half, it got down to like about 8.5 to like, 6 minutes. About 6 minutes left in the game, I was like, it's a wrap. Like, at that point, I'm like, Michigan ain't even coming back. It's done. They tried to fight a little bit and make it a little interesting, but, you know, Villanova was just too strong for them, man. It was just too much, man. Too much size, too much speed. And really, Villanova only went 6 deep, really. I mean, they went 6 deep pretty much the entire game, which was, you know, sometimes that's pretty insane when you see a squad going 6 deep, opposed to like Michigan going 7, 8 deep. But yeah, man, just too much Villanova, man. It was just too much firepower, too many weapons, too many versatile guys out there playing. You know, Mikael Bridges had a good, you know, besides Dante, Mikal Bridges was the only other Villanova player in double figures. That just shows you the impact of what the rest of the players do. They was doing things that don't really show up on the stat book, you know, in the game. So, yeah, man, shout out to Villanova, man. Philadelphia, they having a good year right now, man. The championships got Philadelphia, the Eagles winning the championship, and you got Villanova, which is like you know, 30 minutes right outside of Philadelphia. So, yeah, man, shout out to them Novas, man. They did their thing. But, you know, of course, as a Michigan State basketball fan, I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Like, I'm happy that Michigan didn't win, because then I would have been happy to hear all that from Michigan Wolverine fans or whatever. But then again, of course, call me the traitor. When it comes to football season, I root for Michigan Wolverines. I've been a Michigan Wolverines football guy since a child. So, but I'm just happy on the basketball side. My Spartans got out early, so I'm happy Michigan didn't win it. So as a Spartan fan, I couldn't bear to just root for Wolverines to win. So I'm just like, go Nova.
You know, it's funny because somebody, I think I tweeted you last night when the game was essentially over or close to it. Somebody was like, "Oh, Kenny, you being, you know, petty?" And I'm like, I didn't even reply, because I'm like, no, I'm not. Right. Like, they thought I was taking a shot at you about you being from Michigan and, you know, Michigan losing. I'm like, nah.
If you were, so what? That's you picking with me.
So yeah, what? I know. So, but yeah, but anyway, you know what? I enjoyed the game, and I think Dante is what made it enjoyable, because, you know, obviously they were winning Michigan 21-14, and, you know, it was just a matter of time before they had a chance to before they got back into the game. Like you said, I think it was just nerves. And once Dante started draining them shots, you know, they started to loosen up a little bit. And I think it was Brunson that kind of set it off, because I think he hit a tough shot or he got fouled or something like that, or maybe it was an and one. And, you know, he just started yelling and cheering and kind of pulled the team together. And so he was trying to energize the team. And then they just started to roll from there. And that's when Michigan lost control of the game, because coming out, like, Villanova don't have a lot of size like that. So Wagner could have got off, but they did a good job defensively, just crowding him and not giving him a lot of space, and just, you know, getting low and just impacting his ability to be effective on the offensive end. And once he was neutralized, I mean, that was it. Like, everybody else, they couldn't make a shot. They couldn't shoot. Like, the one thing Michigan was good for was their athleticism. And then, you know, they played, you know, good defense. But, you know, everybody was saying that the, you know, Villanova was essentially the Warriors of college basketball. As much as they can be the Warriors, they average 11 threes a game, and they're the top scoring offense in college basketball this season. I didn't really watch a lot of Nova this year, and in the past, much like Bill Self, whose team just fell flat when they played Villanova, and Villanova was on freaking fire in that game. You know, Jay Wright and Villanova they've had moments where you think they're going to win it and then they don't. So, you know, it's I guess those days are over, considering the fact that they won two of the last three. But Dante, man, I was just sitting there watching Dante just pop those threes, and I saw how athletic he was and the blocks he got. Like, he impacted the game on multiple levels, and he was a stabilizing force for that team. But not only that, Spellman got big blocks and big dunks and huge rebounds. Bridges hit some big shots. So everybody really contributed to the game, but it was Dante's coming out party. White ice. And he got off, man. And I think it was the block that he had when he went straight up and then he got all ball in the second half. I think that's when I text you. I was like, oh, man, Grayson Allen got to move over, man. I got a new one. I got a new favorite white boy to like in the NBA. I mean, in college basketball. So yeah, overall, just, I mean, it was a good game. I wish it was a little bit more competitive from Michigan. And when Brunson got in foul trouble, I thought that Michigan had a chance to make a run, but they just couldn't put together a string of stops and a string of baskets to get back in the game and put more pressure on Villanova to make it more of a tightly contested ball game. But I think it just ended the way it needed to end it. Villanova just being dominant and you know, doing what they've done all year, and that is be the best team in college basketball. One of the things that I was thinking about while I was watching that was Dante was there, and they showed this during the game. When they won the national championship 2 years ago, he was in street clothes, and they show him running off the bench. And a lot of there were other players they had on that team that were part of that unit too. And I was wondering, when I was watching it, how much does that homegrown experience play into teams like Villanova that don't necessarily have the one and done, but they have basketball players? And I haven't done any research, but I wanted to just get your opinion on that. Like, do you think it's easier for teams that have freshmen during the year that they win a national championship for them to compete and play a little bit more composed in their second, third, or maybe fourth year in college basketball? Like, do you think it's easier for them to turn it around and compete for a championship based on what you've seen over the years?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, and I mean, we've seen that even in years through college basketball where you see, you know, like a Loyola Chicago or Wichita in recent years, Wichita State and Northern Iowa, like teams that don't have one and dones that groom players from their freshman year. And then by the time they come junior and seniors, you got a starting lineup a starting lineup and like two or three off the bench that are like juniors and seniors going against freshman guys. You know, sometimes being battle tested, it does help. I mean, you know, we also seen freshman class make runs in the tournaments and possibly win championships. Hell, that Kentucky Anthony Davis squad, that was a starting lineup full of like freshmen and a sophomore or whatever. So, I mean, you know, but it's just, you know, I think sometimes when you see those schools, those one and done schools that always get those one and done guys lose or get upset, is because a lot of these schools, they're battle tested. Because Villanova, to be honest with you, they don't have a lot of one and done guys. Like, I think that's why these past 4 years, Villanova has been going as far as they have, and they won two championships in the last 3 years because they've been grooming guys. You know, it's like, you know, Coach Jay Wright has been able to groom his guy. That's why, you know, and at one point, Tom Izzo was the same way. Like, he don't get the one and done guys. He groomed his guys from freshmen, and then you look up. Nobody talk about Michigan State, and as you know, they in the Elite Eight, Final Four, you know, in 7 of the last 8 years or something like that, just to give an example. So, yeah, I think sometimes having those 3 and 4 year guys, it definitely makes a difference because you got 21, 22 year olds going up against 18 year olds. I mean, sometimes that can be a big difference in certain games when it comes to that pressure, man. When that pressure started to build up. Some of those guys, they don't know how to react, and some do. So, yeah, I think that does play a part when you have those, you know, the seniors on those teams. Because, it just shows once the game gets tough, those guys, 22 years old, they know how they battle tested. They know how to get through it, you know. And like you said, they was a part of the championship. Some of those was a part of that championship squad that won 2 years ago when they were freshmen or sophomores, and now they seniors. And they're like, oh, okay, this is, you know, we know what we got to do. We know what it takes, and we want to get to that mountaintop again. So, yeah, it definitely plays a role. It makes a difference.
How much does that count? You know, like, if you're a freshman and you win the national title and you don't win it again the next year, and even if you get, you know, you play minimal minutes or you play 8 minutes or so, like, does that still count? You know, I know it counts, but when you think about it, like...
You mean, like, for the player that didn't get no clock or nothing like that?
Well, probably not for him, but, Graham, I think it's Devontae Graham for Kansas. Like, when Kansas won it, he was a freshman. And he played, like, he came in and he scored, and he got a national title, and he contributed to them winning. But here it is 3 years later, he got to the Final Four, and the only championship he has is the one that they won as a freshman, but he wasn't, like, the guy. Now
he wasn't, like, the key figure.
Yeah.
I mean, and people can probably test this, too. Yeah, as, like... If I'm playing, and you know, and I'm like the end of, the, I'm like one of the victory cigar guys or whatever, and we win a championship, yeah, that's good. But if I'm like that guy, like if I'm like one of the captains or like one of the guys that's one of the captains that's supposed to lead the team, and we get close and we don't get it, and I graduate next year, yeah, that year, that junior senior year is gonna hurt much more than you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more because I feel like the burden is on me. Back then, I was just the, hey, the cigar guy. I'm playing behind a guy that's number three in the state, and I'm playing against another guy that's number six in the state. I mean, number 12 in the state or whatever. So, and I'm a sophomore, so a freshman. So it's like, there's no way I'm going to get clocked. They're going to put me in whenever we blowing teams out. We get a championship. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I wasn't really a key factor because I was only playing, you know,
average. Or you may be a role player. You may just be a role player, you know.
Role player is a little different. Role player, I think you feel a little bit more value as a role player opposed to the cigar, victory cigar guy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, when you're a
role,
no, I got you.
You know, I've been on teams before, too, where I'm like, okay, your role is to go out here and lock this guy up. So for 8 minutes straight in this half, and for 7 minutes straight in the second half, you're gonna lock this. Your assignment is to lock that guy up. So if that's my role through the whole season, and I'm part of locking up some of you know the league's best.
As a freshman,
that's, I'm gonna feel like I'm a part of that. Like I'm gonna feel like that's I'm a part of that. And I'm just speaking from my playing basketball experience.
Yeah. I've kind of wondered that because I'm like, I know it hurts that his career is done. But in the back of my, you know, I'm sitting up like, dog, you like got one. You know what I'm saying? Like you have a national championship.
Yeah, I guarantee you he's probably like, yeah, but I was, you know, I was just.
You
want
to do it as the man.
Yeah. It's different when you do it as the man. It's like the same way with, like for me, and I'm going off the rails, but like I would put Gary Payton getting the ring with Miami a little different than like if he would have won one with Seattle. Because like Gary Payton was the glove. Like that was his, you know. That was his team and Kemp. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was that guy. When he was with Miami, he was more of like the, you know, backup for Wade. Well, not really a cigar guy, though. But he played key minutes. But, like,
I feel like. Yeah, he had a big shot that series.
Yeah, he did. But I feel like, I feel like he's happy he got one because at least he can retire and say he got one. But he got one, we all know, off of Dwayne Wade's back.
Right.
Like, you know, that was Dwayne Wade's series. That was all Dwayne Wade. And Shaq was like the sidekick. And Gary Payton and Lonzo and all them was just the role players. But if he would have got one in Seattle, I guarantee you he would have been like, that one in Seattle against the 72 Bulls mean a lot more than the one I got in Miami.
Yeah,
It's definitely, you know, it's definitely levels to it. Definitely.
I feel you. Let's move on to the women's real quick. No. Real quick, Dante. Let's get back to Dante DiVincenzo. I've been practicing this all day. DiVincenzo, because I think it's a Z. Anyway, White Ice. You know, obviously he was the sensation, the Twitter sensation last night. And the funny thing is I sent B a text, like, towards the end of the game because he did some move, man, and he got to the hoop. And I was like, man. I said Dante play like he say nigga, like he say nigga a lot. So like he be around black folks. Well, unbeknownst to me, that turned out to be true. Now, you know how they do, man. They dug into his tweets and they found him quoting a Meek Mill rap lyric, which basically was him tweeting out balling on these niggas like Derrick Rose, and he spelled it out. Of course, Twitter being what they are and the media being what they are, jumped all over it.
Which is ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous. And dude was like 13, 14 years old, man.
I mean, he still knew better, but I think that's when you get into this conversation that we've had, not on this show, but I believe either on Is the Mic, I think it was on Is the Mic still on about, you know, saying the N-word in rap lyrics and whether or not that's okay. I can't remember what episode, if I find
they
it
pulled,
out.
They pulled that up, and they pulled up. You see the booty getting my ass ate is a life-changing experience?
Yeah.
You tweeted that, too? I mean, like, he was like 14. Like, you know, if you do the math and look at the years that he tweeted that, he had to have been about 13, 14 years old when he tweeted those out. And it's like, you know, I put myself in that. If I was 13 and 14 years old and I had an iPhone and access to social media, man, stuff that they probably dig up on me, the stuff that I would be tweeting out and saying, oh yeah. So, you know, I get it. I mean, you know, I'm not, it's like, I'm kind of giving them a pass a little bit. Cause it's like, dude, you young, you don't know any better. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure we all look back at stuff.
He knew better. See, that's what – let's just say he's young.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't know better. You're right. I'm not saying he didn't know better because at 13 and 14, I knew what was wrong and what was right. So you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he knew better, but he's just young. He's young just and young. Stupid.
Young and stupid. Yep.
Yeah, if Twitter was around when I was growing up, I mean, right. You know, I was running around saying, the F word and stuff like that I – Right. I wouldn't right. really say any. Well, yeah, I wouldn't right. say
anymore. You'll look
now.
Back at that and be like, "I was young and stupid." You know, I'm nowhere near that type of person anymore. Like, you know,
yeah. even though you know, like it was different back then. Like that word wasn't off limits to us as the way it is now. But right. you know, and the N word has always been like off limits for non people of color. But you know, one, it's a rap lyric. Two, he's young. And whether he know better or not, he's 14 or 13. He's in high school, and he's tweeting in a place where he didn't think it would have an impact on him later on. So nobody really right. knew the dangers of social media. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I somewhat don't like about it because they try to hold you accountable for those things. And sometimes they're taking a little bit out of context. But for me and you guys that have listened to this show, you guys know where I stand on race relations. And I mean, I'm like you. I'm giving him a pass. Like, it didn't really, like, I don't know. I wasn't outraged by it. It didn't affect me. Like, I'm like, come on, y'all. Like, let this man have his night. Let this man live. He just put up 31 in the national championship game. And he wants to live. Now the man has to delete his Twitter account. Villanova has to put out a statement. And you know what? If I was him, I just would have. Like, he hasn't tweeted since 2016. So just let that man live, man. I understood. And I think the bigger conversation is the N-word in rap and whether or not that's okay to say by non-people of color, because there was another team, an all-white team, all-white female team. I think they played lacrosse or something like that, and they got caught saying the N-word, and there was a little bit of a conversation around that. So, but it was rap lyrics. So what do you do? So anyway, but yeah, I just wanted to kind of have that conversation, bring that up, because I just thought it was funny that I sent you that text jokingly somewhat.
And then, yep. And yep. Man, that was crazy, dude. I was dying laughing. I'm like, man, Ken Carter. You like, see, what did I text you, B? You see what I texted you last night? I'm like, oh, my God.
Man, so anyway, there was conversations around women's basketball, the women's Final Four, and a lot of people saying that was a lot better than the men's Final Four. I don't really want to get into that debate. You can comment on that if you want to, B, but man, I think this is really all about Arike Ogunbowale. Ogunbowale. Arike
Ogunbowale.
Yep. I want to do the sister right. Got a mama mentality on, man. She knocked off the undefeated UConn. They were up, 4 points, I think?
Yep.
In that game and blew the lead, and they ended up winning in overtime, and she hit that game winner, man. And then she turned around and did it again against the Mississippi State Bulldogs, which it kind of sucked for them. They had a 15-point lead in that game. They were up big in halftime and ended up losing that game off of a buzzer beater again. And it's really all about her. Now they were saying there was a missed call. The ref swallowed their whistle, and they shouldn't have won that game. But it don't matter. Ogunbowale, man, she was the truth, and this was her year. And she got Kobe tweeting her, B.
Yeah, I know Kobe tweeting. That was crazy. That was crazy right there. I did not see that one coming. Like, damn, Kobe out here tweeting her? Like, especially, you know, her having in the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
the two most important games of the season, you step up and hit big shots in both of those games. Knocking off the undefeated UConn and then the championship game. That's insane. Like, talk about a Final Four experience that you never going to forget. Like, that's crazy, man. Like, yeah, it was crazy. Both of those games was nuts. And those Final Four games that they played in was nuts. And I feel bad because Mississippi State had a chance to win it because old girl shot the ball and then the girl got the rebound and had a chance to tip it back in and it rolled right on out. I was because that if she would have made that, they would have won the game instead of winning overtime. And I was like, oh man, like I know I felt bad for her, especially after old girl after she what's her let's get her last name
Arike.
She hit the the buzzer beater. I was like, man, I know she's gonna wish she had that layup, that tip in back a million times. But yeah, man, it was some good. And I love the fact that they showed the announcers like it was a camera on them on Rebecca Lobo. I can't remember the girl in the middle and then the guy. And like you see him going crazy. The girl in the middle just got this stone face and all you see is her eyes gleam up. And then Rebecca Lobo just like pushing herself away from the chair like, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm watching. Like it was so funny how they showed their reactions in both of those games, man. I thought that was a good one. But yeah, man, both games was exciting, man. Like, you know, okay, I guess people are saying that it was more exciting to men because you had two games, you know, go like come down to the final shot and the person hit a buzzer beater twice. So it's just like, damn, what craziness. You know, we had that during the men's tournament throughout the tournament, but like Final Fours wasn't like that. Like, you know, so I can see why people would make that argument. But you know, it was some entertaining games. I mean, their women's college basketball, man, them girls be playing their damn hearts out. They be playing their damn hearts out, man. They do. They be playing their hearts out. So I can definitely give them credit for that because they definitely leave it out on the court. And can't do but respect that.
Yeah, I just hate it for Mississippi State. Like, you beat UConn. You end UConn's winning streak, and then you lose the national championship. And here you are back in it again. You up big and
had a chance to win it. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yep.
That hurts.
And it just really, really sucks for them, man. To just come up short. Like you said, they'll never ever forget a loss like that where they pretty much dominated the game. But you know, sometimes, man, it's just not. I mean, I hate to say it; it sounds cliche, but it's true. It just seemed like this was just Notre Dame's year. I mean, considering the improbable wins that they've had, you know, this year. So, but here's what Kobe said to her after the first game: "Big time shot, Arike. We are UConn family, but we love seeing great players making great plays. I know my little sis Jewel is okay. That's congratulating Notre Dame." She tweeted back, "Wow, my life is complete. The GOAT," which I find it's something about the young generation looking at Kobe as the GOAT is fascinating to me. "Nah, it's complete by finishing the job on Sunday." See, that's the one. That's the tweet where he was like, "Nah, you're not done. Like, go further." And he hashtagged that mama mentality. And then after she did it, of course, he tweeted, "Wow. Hashtag life complete, hashtag mama mentality," and that was
when she hit the game winner.
Yeah, man.
Crazy.
Kobe isn't talked about with the reverence that in the media, with the reverence that I think a lot of people, like the millennials and have for him. It's all about Jordan and LeBron. And it's like Kobe's the forgotten assassin. It's just really interesting to me. But all the young folks, man, like Kobe, nah, that mama mentality, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I find that interesting.
Even some players is in the game. They look up to Kobe. They be like, nah, man, Kobe is that killer. Like Kobe.
Which I have an interesting question, but let me write that down, and we'll come back to that in a second. Breaking news happened today. We kind of talked about it a little bit, at least B did. But the fight, man, the fight was canceled. B, you want to go ahead and give the people the 411 on what went down with that?
Yeah, you know, earlier Canelo Alvarez got tested positive. I can't pronounce this particular, steroid that they found in, which he blamed that it was from tainted meat in Mexico, of him eating some type of meat in Mexico. That's how it got in his body. And I think he had went up for for the boxing committee today. And I think that's when they decided, that's when he pulled out and said, he's not going to fight the fight, which was like That's a lot of money being lost for Canelo Alvarez. And that's a bad, and I tweeted this earlier, that's a bad look for Golden Boy Promotions, man. Like, you know, because that's their guy. Like, that's their flagship, like, boxer right now. Like, that's their moneymaker. That's their pay-per-view guy. That's the guy that's bringing in the most dollars. You know, most of the other fighters that they have is just kind of, like, up-and-coming, you know, guys. But Canelo Alvarez is, like, they Mayweather. Like, that's their cash cow. And for this to happen to him, and, you know, like I said, bad look for Golden Boy Promotions. And now it's like, what's going to happen now? Are they going to find someone to sub in and still fight Triple G? What's their plans on their side? Are they still trying to fight? Are they still trying to, you know, maybe hold off and look for a better quality opponent? I don't know, man. But this, when I saw that breaking news today, I said, man, talk about it. Because I thought it was going to probably still go eventually because, and, you know, Triple G was like, okay, I still fight. Like, I mean, let's go. Like, whatever. You got tested. You know, go see if you can get it cleaned out the system or whatever, whatever. You said it was bad meat. Cool. Let's still fight. Triple G don't care. Triple G just still want to fight. But now this is like, you know, what their camp is going to do. And what's going to happen with Canelo Alvarez, you know, it coming, you know, in the future fights. Like, this is going to definitely put a stain on his legacy right now, unless he can show and prove in his next fights. If he does decide to fight this year, because, you know, I feel bad for Triple G up here doing all this training. And you, now you don't got nobody to fight. And you've been training for the past, you know, month or two or possibly 3 months, depending on how strict your training regimen is. But, yeah, man, I was like, wow, that's a bad look for boxing, too. Because, of course, now with, you know, everyone saying, you know, yeah, you MMA is just taking over boxing. And, you know, boxing ain't this, boxing ain't that. Then you got guys testing positive for, you know, for steroids or whatever. Yeah, it's a bad look. It's not a good look for boxing. You know, if anything, you're supposed to help the sport, not like harming like this. Boxing is already getting a stain on them with referees and how these referees, not referees, but how these judges, you know, judge some of these fights when it comes to the decision. You got fans like myself and everybody like, what the hell? What fight was you looking at for you to judge that? So just a bad look overall for boxing, man. We need some key fights and some key stuff to help forget about this, but bad look for Golden Boy.
Do you think he should have canceled the match?
No, I mean, if he really fit, this is my thing. If you really feel what you had was tainted meat, or, you know, from eating meat or whatever, you can get that out of your system and move forward. I would say, why cancel the fight? Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, so in my mind, either something in under, you know, deep down below that we behind the scenes that we don't know about, that's something fishy going on from the Golden Boy side, or I don't know, man, because I think if it was just me, go ahead and make the fight still happen, man. Make that money. That's a lot of money to be made that now Canelo is missing out on. You're not getting that money. So I think he shouldn't have canceled it, man. Him canceling this, them Golden Boy Promotions canceling this, it just shows me that it might be something else that's in the smoke that we haven't seen in the fire yet.
Mm. Yeah, they're saying Triple G is going to fight, expected to fight a replacement for Alvarez. Yeah,
yeah, man, because, man, when you're training, man, that training, boxing, boxers, man, and MMA fighters, just training in general just for a fight, that's no joke. You put your body through a lot. Put your body through a lot of changes so you can make weight. Put your body through a lot just so you can, you know, be prepared for a fight. So this is, yeah. So I would expect for him to have a replacement fighter. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they can find someone of quality that can. I wouldn't mind him giving Daniel Jacobs a rematch, because to me, he fought him the best. He fought Triple G the best to me. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind seeing a Triple G Daniel Jacobs rematch.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That news broke everywhere, and you know, it's been suspected that was going to happen, and yep, it did. So anyway, moving on, let's jump to basketball. The Cavs and the Raptors played tonight, and the Cavs beat them again. That's 9-8 of 9, I think, that the Cavs have won. And if you're the Raptors, like, they pretty much dominated. It looked like they just had control of this game. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but it looks like they had control of this game. So the score wasn't probably as close as it looks now. They won 112 to 106. So the Raptors are in a bit of a funk. And Sunday, the Spurs spanked the Rockets. And the funny thing is, I know we've been going back and forth, you know, about whether or not Toronto is legit or the Rockets are legit. And then all of a sudden this happened. And I just kept saying to myself, well, it looks like the Raptors and the Rockets are in playoff form. So the question is, with the performances that we've seen, should we be concerned about the Raptors and the Rockets heading into the playoffs? What do you think, FIFO?
Man, you already know how I feel about these damn Rockets and DeMar, the frauding. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, man, and you know what? I don't want to throw no shade his way because he is what he is. He's an all-star. He's the second best player on the championship team. Kyle Lowry's the third best. They don't have that superstar. So I don't believe them in the playoffs. I never have believed them in the playoffs, man. Like if y'all listen, y'all already know how I feel about that squad. They nice, but in the playoffs they unravel and they don't have that thread. Like they don't have that foundation. And I don't like how they're built. I just don't. To me, I would have been blown it up. Give me these draft picks, man. You see all these young kids coming out. These boys is ready to ball. You can get a king's ransom for somebody like DeMar DeRozan. People gonna move mountains to try to get him right now. If you're a playoff team, you know. So sometimes I think you hold on too long. You know, they're trying to play in this championship window, but after this season, they need to look elsewhere. Because I'm telling you, if you continue to bring this squad, you're not going to do anything. But, nah, man, I'm definitely worried for them because they've never performed in the playoffs. The Rockets, I'm not as worried. I think they wanted to prove that they're the best team by getting the best record in the NBA. And they've earned it. They've beaten a lot of top-quality opponents. I believe they've beaten Golden State this year as well. So James Harden is obviously an MVP candidate. So I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about the Rockets. I'm more so worried about Toronto if we're talking just about those two teams.
And also, I know, Ken, you mentioned Rockets just losing to the Spurs. I agree with FIFO. I mean, I know we both question, is Toronto and Rockets playoff ready, because we know what we've seen in the past. I definitely don't believe in the Raptors. I think this is going to be the same story with the Raptors. They might have a chance that they might end up losing that one seed if they lose a couple of more key games. I think we only got like about maybe 6-7 more games left in the regular season. But Rockets lost. They've been on a roll. This is like their first L in a long time. And the last time they played the Spurs, March 12th, they were fully healthy and they beat them 109-93. Spurs beat them, of course. Rockets didn't have Nene or Chris Paul, so that kind of plays a little bit of factor, I think, of why the Spurs beat them. But other than that, Rockets been on the roll, man. They've been out. I think they did not lose a game in the month of March. Maybe one game. I think they lost one game in the month of March. That was it. So they've been on the roll, man. They definitely been on the roll. So the Spurs lost, could be a little bit of fatigue. They was coming off of, you know, not really back to back because they played Friday and then they played that Sunday on the first. But you know, just Greg Pop making some adjustments. Hey, they don't got CP3. We're gonna do this. We're gonna put in work. They blowing out the Wizards right now though, beating them 95-72. So Rockets look all right to me. It's gonna be interesting. I think I'm just really interested to see what's gonna happen. You know, pretty much once we get this Western Conference Final matchup between them and Golden State, I'm still predicting that. I'm still going with that as the Western Conference Finals matchup. But Toronto, man, I think it's just going to be the same story, man. They either going to be either conference finals, depending on where they see that, either Eastern Conference Final L, or they might not even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They might be second round in L. So I just don't trust them, man. I just do not trust. I don't know how you trust Toronto, Ken. I do not trust Toronto, man, going into this playoffs. I really don't. I just don't.
Yeah, I did
trust they might Toronto. See Philly in the second round. And they see Philly in the second round, you can forget it.
You think Philly got a shot?
I think they got a shot, yeah. With the Toronto Raptors that we've been seeing in playoff form, I think Philadelphia got a chance, man. Them boys young, they hungry. You know, it might be that round where they take that lump, that FIFO, that me and FIFO, he's always say that you got to take that bruise, that beating or whatever. But I don't know, man, the way Toronto been playing, you know, Ben Simmons, he going to have his way. You know, I don't know.
You know what, man? Chris Broussard said something the other day, and I 100% agree. I always say it. When you look at a series, right, you got to look at all of the best players. Yep. And which squad has the best players? The two best players against, if you had to pick two out of the Toronto Raptors roster and Philly's roster, the top two are in Philly. To me, yep. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are leaps and bounds ahead of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry right now.
Wow.
Right now. I take both of those guys over those other two guys right now. And on talent alone, look, I'm going to tell you like this, man. From day one I saw Embiid, I've been trying to tell everybody here the truth. Physically, I always say you have to be able to impact the game. That's the reason why little guys cannot win a championship by themselves or be the bona fide number one option. It's extremely difficult because physically you can't impact the game. But a guy like Joel Embiid, 7'2", Hakeem moves, three-point shot, handle, vision, blocks, athleticism. We've seen what he can do, and he's still scratching the surface. This is his first full healthy season. And we know, because B knows, B done seen it, even at our advanced age, we still have throwback moments. I've seen B, like, not be unstoppable. I've been unstoppable recently, even with my belly and all of that. So imagine Joel Embiid right now, and you know he won it. He wants to prove to it. So if he just, in a series, goes nuts, tell me what team in the East has anything to stop this guy? Because Hassan can't do it. He demolished Cat. He demolishes every big man in the NBA. And now we're talking about the East. If Joel Embiid takes his game to another level, that proverbial level that you got to get to in the playoffs, they're scary, man. They're scary. And honestly, I don't think Toronto has enough
to compete with the Sixers.
Yep.
Well, while we're on it, then, that's actually something I wanted to talk about. Before I get into that, you know, like I said, I had the thought because I just noticed that this is Toronto's second loss in a row. The Rockets have, even though they've won games, they struggle with certain teams. D'Antoni even called them out. Like B said, they're back in form now, and I think they took the message seriously that he was saying. And I like the fact that he's prioritizing getting back into a rhythm instead of resting. I think that's going to be key for them. But I said something on Twitter the last time the Cavs beat the Raptors, and I said that LeBron and the Cavs sent the message to the East. It was a shot across the bow, and you know, people are like, "Oh man, slow down! Oh, you know, it's just one game, this, that." I'm like, "Nah." Considering everything that this team has been through, with the injuries, the up and down season, when you're heading into the playoffs and you're facing a team that's leading the division, that's starting to get recognized for that, when LeBron knows that he has to put doubt in their minds. And after that game, there was doubt in Toronto, in the Toronto Raptors' mind. Just go look at the interviews afterwards. And that's all you need to know. I think they're rallying into form. The other team that seemed to be gaining momentum are the Celtics. Interestingly enough, that came after I tried to throw shade on them. So we'll let that go. And they're in a battle with Milwaukee right now. Milwaukee's up 86-71. I'm not going to talk mess about the Celtics anymore. But back to the Sixers. So we already know that, at least everybody on this show, but Embiid was lost to an orbital fracture. Fultz, man, just making the wrong kind of news. His rookie season, knocking out Embiid for what some projected was going to be the first round of the playoffs, but they're thinking he could play with pain. Since he's been gone, though, Ben Simmons has taken his game to what seems like another level. So it seems like Ben Simmons is rising to the occasion. So that's why I thought what you guys were saying about them possibly beating the Raptors, I think with the experience that Ben is gaining, being now like, you know, like he was the man, but now he's like the man. I think it's a possibility. I really do like their chances. And they're playing for something. They're in a battle with the 76ers, I mean, with the Cavs to get that third seed. So let me ask you guys this. I mean, people have been throwing it out there. Cavs, 76ers, man. Like, who you taking? Who you taking? If it happens, it can happen.
You know what?
I'm taking Cavs. I can't bet up against LeBron, man. If you're talking about if they match up in the first round or just period.
I think there's a path for them to play, right?
If they match up, it's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. And here's the thing, B. I agree with you. I can't go against the King right now because the King made the finals 10 straight years by his damn self. So, you know, I'm not going to bet against that. But here's the thing. I reserve the right to see. No, I'm for real. I reserve the right to see the level Joel Embiid plays at. Because if he plays Shaq level, I think they could beat the Cavs.
In the seven-game series.
They ain't got nothing for Joel, bro. And they could slow down the pace. They could slow down the pace. They could play. Because look at all of Braun's playoff series and wins. Outside of, like, the last year Golden State finals, they don't play that quick. They take a lot of threes, but they don't play that quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron, he really dominates the ball even more so in the playoffs. They're not going to play fast. So I think that's actually advantage Philly. Because here's you going to put Kevin Love on this guy? Even Tristan? Come on, man. They don't have anybody for him.
Yeah, there was a game I was watching where Larry Nance, I think it was a Lakers game, where they just Randolph destroyed Larry Nance and every big man they had. That's Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Embiid, a healthy Embiid at by the time they get to, because we're just taking your scenario, B. They meet the Raptors, they beat the Raptors. So you said you think they could beat the Raptors. They'll see Cleveland in the conference finals. I think when I look at the matchups, I like the Sixers' chances too. They just don't have the experience. But yep. They have talent. They got a hell of an advantage at the five spot. Ben Simmons is a problem all his own. Saric can play. Redick can shoot. Fultz. I don't know, B. Think about it.
No, I can't. this playoff LeBron, man, especially the way he's been playing this year. I don't see him losing to the rookie Ben Simmons, man. Wow, that'd be a hell of an accomplishment for Ben Simmons to pull off if he can knock off the chance of LeBron playing in his eighth straight NBA Finals.
Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, who has playoff experience, Larry Nance, never been there.
I think Brian will get the troops ready, man. I think he's gonna get him ready. I can't just not believe in Brian like this now. I see what y'all saying, but I think that'll be like that seven game series hurt and loss that Sixers have suffered.
I don't know, man.
It'll be needed. It'll fuel them. They'll meet up Cavs in the Eastern Finals, go fight a hard seven-game series and lose, and that'll be like that heartbreak that they suffer. And then that'll get them motivated.
And I'll put it to you like this, B. If that happens, next year Philly's finishing number one.
That's what I'm saying.
They're going to be the best team in the East next
year.
That's
what's going to happen. If they meet LeBron in the East Finals, it's going to go seven games. LeBron's going to heartbreak them. And then next year we're gonna be like Philly. Watch out, Philly. Like Philly's gonna be a team to beat.
And so it's a changing of the guard. It's gonna happen next year.
It's gonna be exactly what happened with the Pistons when we finally got over Boston. It was just like when we barely lost, you know, when we barely lost to the Lakers in the finals in 88. Next year it was like we're winning. Like it wasn't even no denial that we was gonna lose that year. You know, let alone I didn't think it was going to repeat, but the fact that we repeated. But, yeah, like, I think that's what happened. If Sixers fight this out to game seven, they're going to come back next year like, we got this. Like, yeah,
Better than Boston. Better than the Raptors.
Yep.
Number one team in the East.
Yeah, because here's the thing, man. Not since Magic we've seen a 6'10 point guard. And Ben, he don't have the passing ability of Magic. He's a great passer, don't get me wrong, but he ain't Magic. But he's more athletic than Magic. That's a problem, man. And if you got a more athletic, bigger version of Akeem with a three, oh man, come on, hey man, look, I don't know how you beat that. I just don't know how you beat that, you know. And then they'll have another offseason. You know, obviously, right. J.J. Redick is coming off the books, which was a $20 million contract. You still have cap space because you're only paying Robert Covington and Embiid now. You know what I'm saying? Ben is still on a rookie deal. Fultz is still on a rookie deal. So the core of your squad, you're not even really paying them right now. You know, so they can add free agents right now. You know, if I'm a Paul George, if I'm one of these guys, I got to look at Philly like a real viable destination to win some chips. I'm not talking about just one, because here's the thing, too. People aren't talking about the inevitable with Golden State. They cannot afford all of those guys. There's going to be players that are either going to have to be traded or they're just going to walk. They can't afford all of those guys. They just simply can't, unless they're going to play all this luxury tax. But at the end of the day, Ken, you said it best. Philly is the changing of the guard. And no pun intended, we are also in the midst of, I think, the wave of the next generation big man. I think we've transitioned away from the point guards. The point guards had their era. They had their run. But right now, I think we're witnessing the manifestation of the KGs and the Dirk Nowitzkis of the world. Mm-hmm. We see AD. We got DeMarcus. Look at Joel. Look at Kristaps. Look at Kat. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, we're starting to see a whole bunch of them come in. And it ain't stopping. It ain't stopping. This next draft class is ridiculous. We see DeAndre Ayton. You know what I'm saying? Like the big man is back. I've been trying to tell y'all, the big man is back. In basketball, they're still going to shoot threes. They're still going to do all of that. But it's just a different version now, man. And I think that we got to respect these bigs the same way we respect the back-to-the-basket physical bigs. Because I know I went on a rant when B sent me that thing on Twitter. And right now, man, basketball isn't as physical as it once was, but it's way more skillful. Way more skillful right now. And these bigs, they have tremendous skill, man.
Yeah, and if you can be like Kat, who had a 56-point game, I think last week, shout out to him, and Embiid that can score in and out, like, what are you going to do with that? Because now you have the best of both worlds. And I'm with you. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think we probably, like, KG and Dirk were good prototypes. And then we got KG, Dirk. Shit, who was the guy?
Who just on the, don't forget just on about the, Malone.
Yeah, Malone.
Malone, yep. was started to change of the power forward. Who else? I guess Tim Duncan, the greatest power forward, but he was, you know, more traditional. But his game eventually got out to about 15 to 20 feet, you know. So, you know, it's look, at the end of the day, I just think that Embiid is by far, and it ain't even close, the best big man in the NBA. And I think that if he hits that proverbial next step, next level in the playoffs, I don't know who's going to stop him.
You think Embiid's better than Cat?
Yeah, I think he could be better than Cat. I think he is better than Cat right now. I think he's a bit more athletic. From what I've watched, I think Joel gets more chase down blocks than Cat does. Joel is a better rim protector than Cat is. I think offensively, they're both just naturally gifted. So I think they cancel each other out. But the separation is defense. Joel Embiid is a superior defender to Karl Anthony Towns.
I don't know, man. Well, yeah, he is, but I think, man, I don't know. I don't know. Towns is nice. Like, and I think their games are similar but different. Like, they both can hit the outside. Yeah, you know, Embiid is definitely a little bit – I think he can handle the ball a lot better from what I've seen, and looks a bit more athletic and plays better defense. But, man.
Just – okay. Let's just think back to the basket power. Joel Embiid got him there, right? I think they cancel each other out with footwork and touch around the rim. They both have fadeaways from the post. They both got mid-range shots. I would say Cat is a better three-point shooter than Joel right now. I think Cat has better coast-to-coast ball-handling ability than Joel, but I think that in the half-court set, they both have tremendous ball handling ability. But, and then again, just on defense, that's what separates Embiid from Cat. That's why I have to say Embiid is a better overall player right now. Now, they're very similar, like you said, similar but different. But if I start checking things off on the list, Joel takes more things off of me. So that's why he's a better player.
Yeah, and just going through it in my head, Embiid seems like he has more moves than Cat does. It's going to be great watching their career. Moving on, the Thunder are battling Golden State right now, Golden State without Curry. And right now it's 84-81, Golden State, they're up. But the story here is really in the fight for the playoffs. And most teams right now have 5 to 6 games left. And in the West, the East is pretty much wrapped up. Like, the Detroit Pistons, for all intents and purposes, they shouldn't get in. Even though they won 5 straight, like, the Bucks would have to have a collapse. Like, they would have to win all their games, and the Bucks would have to just go on a
Bucks
massive,
and Miami had to, like, loot,
yeah. Miami is in. Miami got in tonight. So, they got in tonight. Okay. So it's just the Bucks left. So, but that one's over. But the West is where it's at. Right now the Spurs are the 4th seed with 45 wins. The L.A. Clippers are out of the playoffs in the 10th spot with 41 wins. So just 4 games separate the 10th seed and the 4th seed. And from the 4th to the 8th seed, 2. The Nuggets and the Clippers are on the outside looking in. And depending on what happened down the stretch, they could get in. So I'm going to ask you guys. The Pelicans have lost 4 straight. They're going in the wrong direction. Minnesota lost 1. The Nuggets won 2, and the Clippers have lost 2, and they're on the outside. So those last 2 spots are up for grabs. Who do you guys think get in? B, who you got? You think it's going to stay the way it is? So let me give you so we already know Portland's in. Portland's the 3 seed, and we already know 1 and 2. San Antonio is the 4th seed, 45-32. I'll just do wins. OKC, 45 wins. They're playing Golden State tonight. They may lose that. Utah, 44. Timberwolves, 44. Pelicans, 43. Nuggets, 42 wins. And Clippers, 41.
I think it might stay that way, man. I think New Orleans might end up sticking with that 8th seed. I think Minnesota gonna stay at 7. Utah, or you know what? Utah might flip flop with Minnesota. Utah might get down to 7 seed, and Minnesota might bump up to 6. But I think everything else.
Do you give the Clippers or the Nuggets a shot at getting in?
Let me look and see what's Denver's remaining schedule.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the.
They got Timberwolves on the 5th. That's gonna be a good one. And the Clippers. Wow, they got Timberwolves, Clippers, Trailblazers, and Timberwolves again. That's gonna be some. I might have to watch a couple of these games. That's gonna be pretty intense because all those teams are they gonna be fighting for their playoff lives. So.
So the Pelicans, they get what should be two wins. They get Memphis and Phoenix next. And then they finish the year with Golden State, the Clippers, and San Antonio. That's the Pelicans. They've lost four straight.
Right.
Anthony Davis. Hey, that's y'all man's.
Like what, 2-3 the last five games?
They can go 2-3. They can go 2-3. And that'll put them at 37 losses, so 44-37.
So yeah, they need to go, they need to do that, and they need Minnesota and Denver to kind of like, I guess help. New Orleans is gonna need help maybe from Minnesota to kind of like knock out, you know, keep Denver straight from that eighth seed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think New Orleans will get in, man. I think, you know, he's not the unibrow no more. He shaved the unibrow, so now he might try to, that might get him some luck to get in that eighth spot, man. But no, I think the playoff picture stay like this, man. Like I said, I think Utah and Minnesota might switch. Utah might go to 7 and Minnesota might go 6 seed. But I think New Orleans will hang on to that eighth spot.
Yeah, I'm just kind of really interested to see if the Nuggets or the Clippers really have a chance to get in. I like the teams that are in now. I would love to see Anthony Davis in, and I prefer to see the teams that are in the top 8 seeds over the Nuggets and the Clippers. I'm looking at the Clippers schedule, and they have San Antonio, Utah, Denver, New Orleans, and they finish with the Lakers. I don't think the Clippers are going to make it. Yeah, I don't think the Clippers are going to make it. That's tough. So I think that leaves probably the Pelicans with the best shot of, I mean, the Nuggets with the best shot of getting in. And they play Minnesota twice. And their schedule, remaining schedule, is Indiana. That's going to be tough. Minnesota, the Clippers, Portland, and Minnesota. Dang. What you think? What you think, FIFO? You think the Nuggets or Clippers got a shot of sneaking in the playoffs?
Where are they again? The Nuggets and the Clips?
9th and 10th. So,
and they're like only like a half game out, right? Or a full game.
Yeah, it's like half game or a full game. It's like they're like right there.
They're right there. Yeah, I know. Like, cause from like the 4th through the 10th is all separated like less than two games. Mm-hmm. But I wanna believe in the Nuggets, man. But I still think that they're a player or a couple moves away from actually being something, because their big guy, what that's Nurkic, right?
Jokic.
Jokic. I always get those two guys confused. But he's the real deal. He's definitely the real deal. I like the pieces that they have, but they just have a whole bunch of role players in him. And their big man, I don't think, is the best on the championship team. I think he's the second or third. So they still need a guy, but I think that they have a lot of pieces that they can move to try to get a guy. And I think that they need to make that move, but I don't think that they have enough to finish out the season strong. The Clippers, man, if they make the playoffs, it's hard to get rid of Doc, but obviously it's a changing of the guard there. So, you know, it is what it is, but the Clips are going to fight strong. They have experience, but I don't see them. I think that all of the teams above them currently just have stronger rosters. And I think at the end of the day, especially down the stretch, those rosters with experience, obviously the Minnesota Babies, Cat and Wiggins don't have that level of experience, but everybody else does. Jeff Teague, Jimmy Butler, Todd Gibson, pretty much everybody else that's there. So I don't see them eclipsing those guys. Or even Utah. I think Utah with the dynamic rookie Donovan Mitchell, you know, you got a defensive player of the year candidate always with Rudy Gobert as long as he's healthy. You know, I just think they have more talent right now than those two other squads. So I don't see them making a push right now, you know. But, hey, look, when you got Lou Williams balling out of his mind all year like he has been, if he's like, look, we're going to make the playoffs, and he wants to average 50 over the last week, you think things may change. But outside of something like that, I don't see them moving.
Man, I think Lou Williams having the best time of his life in L.A. right now. You know that man loves to shoot. But, yeah, they – they play four of their last five games are against teams in the playoffs or fighting for a playoff spot. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. And prior to that, like I said, they're on a two-game losing streak, and that was against playoff teams, Portland and Indiana. So I don't think they're going to get in. Denver maybe, but their schedule isn't any better because they play all of their opponents are playoff teams. They play Minnesota twice. They play the Clippers, and they play Portland, and they get Indiana. So, but look, they managed to squeeze out a win against OKC, and they managed to beat Milwaukee. So they're keeping their chances alive, but it's going to be tough. And I think, you know, teams like that, sometimes you think they back in, or which could happen if OKC, Utah, and Minnesota, or really, in all honesty, the Pelicans. They're the ones I'm worried about. If the Pelicans can't seem to find a win, maybe the other two teams back in, but they got to handle their business. So I'm with you, B. I think it'll stay as it is, and I would prefer it to stay this way because I just like the players there, and I think we'll get some really, really interesting matchups with the Timberwolves and the Warriors, and Jimmy Butler is on his way back. So we'll see how they go. I want to go back to the question that I had earlier, and that was just when we were talking about Kobe and Arika, and just how people don't really talk about Kobe the way that, when I think about it, they should have. Is Kobe being disrespected? Why are we not talking about Kobe, man? B, why we don't look at Kobe as, like, we know Kobe is GOAT-like, right? But we never bring up Kobe. Like, it's always the young cats. But people, when they're talking about it in the media, Kobe never comes up. What's up with that?
I don't know. That's a good question, man. I don't know why Kobe name. I mean, besides some Kobe fans, but like, I don't know why just in general Kobe name is not brought up when, you know, many people look at him as the second coming of Jordan. I don't know. Is it because if he patting his game right after Jordan and people kind of look down on that, or I don't know. I don't know why. Cause it's like Kobe is a killer.
No, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Look.
What? What's so funny?
That's why I went to B first.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's up? What's up? I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know why people don't mention Kobe's name.
Let me break it down. Kobe was not the most dominant basketball player of his era. He had other people on his level. I'm not going to say that they were that much greater than Kobe. But he had players that were on his level during his era. When we look at MJ, we say nobody was on that. Nobody was smelling the air MJ was smelling. That's the same way that we put LeBron. Nobody's smelling the air that LeBron is smelling. But other people during Kobe's era was smelling the same air Kobe was.
I need names.
KG. Okay, KG was on the same level. Tim Duncan was on the same level. Shaq was on the same level. Who else was balling at that time?
So KD is not on the same level as LeBron?
Nah, LeBron, KD's closer to LeBron now, but that's just because of attrition of LeBron. LeBron in his prime, KD wasn't at the same level. Because KD hasn't been able to do what LeBron has done by himself. KD's never been that guy.
Valid.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, LeBron is so far leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else during his era that Kobe didn't have that same separation of guys. He was
what
still.
About, let me ask you this, FIFA. What about from after the year we beat the Lakers? So 2004, when Shaq went to Miami, when Shaq was kind of like on his way down, like from like 2004 to like 2009. Would you say, because that was like Black Mamba Kobe. That's the 81. That was during that tournament. Yeah. When Kobe hit 81. Like, so in that moment, you could probably make an argument no one was smelling. Because this was young LeBron at the time. Like, LeBron wasn't
because he came in
prime LeBron yet. So
I feel you. But here's the thing. I feel by 05, LeBron was the best player in the NBA.
By 05? So after his second.
Second year, he was the best player in the NBA.
No.
But here's the thing. I'm not saying that he was leaps and bounds ahead of Kobe or anybody else. I'm just putting him in the number one slot. It was time after that where he continued to separate himself.
But I say by the time, what year was that when he lost to Orlando?
Man, Kobe put up 35-5-4 that year.
I say from like 04 to like 09. That those was Kobe. Like, wasn't nobody fucking with Kobe. Like, I think Kobe was leaps and bounds just those years. Whatever the year that LeBron lost to Orlando, from that on after that, I would give you LeBron. But yeah, man, from like 04 to 09, wasn't nobody fucking with Kobe, dog. Like,
I think Kobe had a run, Ralph. I think he had a run. It was his
Kobe league. Had a run, dog. That 04, and like, mind you, this is me coming from a strictly. You know me, people. I'm not a Kobe stan or a LeBron stan. Like, I'm Pistons all day.
I don't like Kobe either.
I'm just going from the eye test. Like, from 04 to like 09, to me, Kobe was unfuckwittable at just those years.
Okay, LeBron, so look, I'm gonna just bring facts, right? I'm not gonna bring any conjecture right now. Strictly facts. LeBron's rookie year, 20.9 points a game. So basically, 21.
Oh no, I'm not going off numbers. I'm not going off strictly eye test.
I feel you, and all I said, I was just gonna bring facts, and I'm just bringing facts to prove my point. That's all I'm saying. His second year in the league, right? And I said 05. I didn't say 04 or 05. I said second year in the league. Technically, his third year in the league, I felt that he was the best player. He went from 21 a game to 27 a game to 31 a game. That 05, 06 year, LeBron was the best player in basketball.
No, he wasn't the best. He because LeBron still didn't have moves yet. Like,
but it
was still
matter.
Putting up 31, 6, and 7. That's I didn't know saying. He was doing that at 05, 06. That was that. But you know what, B? But you know what, B? I'm with you. I think that was the year that he put Kobe Bryant on notice.
Not on notice. He took over the league.
No, he didn't take over the league. So that was still Black Mamba Kobe right there, man. Like that. No. Nah. That's when Black Mamba was born. When Black Mamba was born, wasn't nobody fucking with Kobe. Like, wasn't nobody fucking with him. Kobe was eating everybody up, even LeBron. Whenever he played LeBron, Kobe was eating him up. He was eating him up.
I think LeBron has a winning record against Kobe in the regular season.
Yes, he does. LeBron has a winning record against everybody.
I mean, I'm just talking about whenever Kobe and LeBron guard each other, like, Kobe always got the best of them.
But Melo would get the best of him, too.
And putting up numbers while doing it. And Bron has done that. Bron did that since day one against all the superstars.
Them years when Black Mamba was born, man, Kobe was the man. As much as I hate to admit it, Kobe was the man them years, man. That year that he lost to Orlando, after that it was LeBron. It was all LeBron. But Kobe was the man. Kobe was still feared. Like, he was still like that Tiger Woods on Sunday afternoon when you playing in the majors. Like, it's like, oh shit, here come this dude. Like, because LeBron wasn't putting fear in dudes like that at that time of his career.
Because that came after the rape allegations, right? The rape scandal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 04 to like 09, man. Kobe, that was Kobe's years right there, I think, where he was considered the best player in the league.
I gotta go to basketball.
Not to 09, man. He didn't have a 5-year run. Because look, if LeBron, okay, forget LeBron being the number one on the list by 04 or 05. LeBron was top three. So that means that to me, in that run, LeBron surpassed Kobe. Kobe was not a better basketball player for 5 years over LeBron James, because LeBron won MVP in those years.
But Kobe was getting rings though.
I feel you, but LeBron was still the best basketball player in basketball.
He won
MVPs.
I still think it was Kobe's league.
It was Kobe's league.
Nah,
still, yeah. It was still Kobe's league.
Kobe's
man.
League.
That was his five year run. I don't want to ask a Kobe stan, because of course a Kobe stan would be like, oh yeah, I want to ask somebody else who's like is Q not a Kobe stan, is he?
Nah, he's a Kobe fan.
He is?
Yeah.
I want to ask somebody who's objective. Because I think you're standing just a smidgen, just a little bit, because I know you're more of a LeBron fan. But I don't know.
I feel you. I got a little bit of a bias.
Yeah, But FIFA, your argument is valid. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, hell no. But I just think that 04 to 09 was Kobe's league. It was just Kobe's league. Like,
so 07, that was the year that LeBron went to the finals to play the Spurs, right?
Yeah.
What year did he lose to Dwight Howard? Was that 08, 09?
I think that was 2010.
Yeah, it was like
because that was the year him and Kobe were supposed to play each other in the finals, man. I was mad that year. I was kind of mad that year. I was mad at LeBron that year because I was like, because I wanted to see that. I wanted to see that NBA final matchup. Like, that was going to end the arguments of, like, who was better. Like, LeBron, because, like, they were supposed to meet up in the finals that year.
I think LeBron was on the rise, and I think that was the great debate. And we needed that finals to settle it. And it never happened.
So bad.
And then when LeBron left, I think right around 2009 was his last year.
2009, 2010, it was LeBron's league. Like, at that point, it was no question that it was LeBron's league. You know what I'm saying? Kobe was like second. He was kind of starting to go towards the end of his prime, whatever. He was starting to head down a little bit. But 04 to 09,
then
man,
LeBron went to Miami.
Like, Mama Kobe later. Was on fuck with him. He wasn't nobody touching him.
Look, here's the thing. If we're talking about scoring points, I give you that. But when we're talking about the best or somebody's league, it's not just about scoring points.
It's not about the points, though. The league, yes, though, right. Go ahead.
But the face of the league has been LeBron James since Kobe was in his prime. The face of the league, the MVP of the league, was LeBron James. LeBron was the superior.
Kobe was.
Come on, man.
Every time Kobe defended LeBron, he locked him up. Like, it was just every time when they both face to face and it was time to put the game on the line, Kobe was doing work. He was putting in work on LeBron. He was making LeBron look silly.
It's not even that. I still think,
and there's some video evidence of that too. So it's just like.
But what FIFA talking about is like beyond. Like that, right?
The matchup,
beyond the stats, just like who's the icon of the NBA, and I think that like right around that 2008, 2009, that's when LeBron was like pushing Kobe out,
what year did I say? Ken?
You said 2009, so I think
I said 04 to 09,
I agree with you. I still think like coming off that. From 04 to right around maybe 08, 09, like when LeBron started to take over was when he went to the finals that year in 2007. Like, they were already pushing him. He was already the man, and they realized they could make a lot of money off of him. But Kobe, I think it was still at that time, it was still Kobe's league, and LeBron was on his way. And LeBron was like right there. LeBron was KD, and Kobe was LeBron. The way it is right now. Come on, FIFA.
I want to get some more opinions on this. Okay, like, I want to get some more basketball heads.
So let's look at some more numbers, though. Let's look at some more numbers, right?
I thought we weren't looking at numbers.
I'm looking at numbers. I'm just going strictly eye test, man.
That's cool. But let's look at numbers. Do you want to know Kobe Bryant's best field goal percentage year?
Sure.
46.9% from the field. Let's look at LeBron.
That's a Kobe shot a lot, though.
LeBron shot a lot, too. LeBron was averaging 30 points damn near 3 years back-to-back. LeBron's best year, 56%. And do you know how many times LeBron has been over 46.9%?
No.
14 years above 46% field goal percentage. And that was Kobe's best.
I don't care. I'm going by.
Okay, that's cool.
Balling. I test. FIFA, you should know this, man. You know how we bring the numbers. Like, it's the dudes you on the court fighting with. Kobe was the man. Kobe was the man. Kobe was putting fear in guys. People were scared of Kobe. Like the same way people were scared of Jordan in this, like people were scared of Kobe, man. Like I didn't hear that fear in LeBron into his Miami years when people was like,
yeah, people scared. Are just, yeah, now people are scared of. You heard what Sarek said. Sarek said we could play anybody can come here except LeBron.
Except LeBron. Yeah.
What kind of crap is that? How do you say that? He was like, well, we want to play everybody except him. What kind of crap is that? LeBron has that fear now in the East. And of course, the overpowered Golden State Warriors, obviously, they're not afraid of him because.
Hell shit, Golden State had to go call Kevin Durant to beat LeBron. But,
yeah, he put the fear of God into them too that first year they played. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. But I'm with FIFO. Just for a couple of years, it was Kobe's league, man. It was Kobe's league, man. He was just being challenged by LeBron.
I give you like a couple. A couple means two, maybe three. It's two in the possible. I give you that. That's about it. It wasn't no 5-year run. I give you two in the possible. That's the reason why Kobe got one MVP. I give you that. But that's it.
I think maybe in 08. Which is right around. I'm maybe a year earlier than B.
I'm sticking with 04 to 09. That was it. After that, it was Brown's lead.
That's cool. You can have that opinion. We could see. You know what? This is why we need the video because I wish people could see my face right now. Because man, we'll
bring this up because you know I gotta have you know who part of this conversation.
You already know.
Having Rod would balance it out because Rod is a Kobe and LeBron is FIFO is LeBron. So I want to get somebody who's like equal, who's like on either side, like me and Ken. Like I want that opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone that knows basketball.
Who could we? I don't know. I have to figure that out. Who we can have on? But hey, May 1st. We're still on target. I'm not going to tell y'all what that means, though, that are listening. We'll continue this conversation because I gotta do some more research, get my facts. But yeah, I think B has a good window I can work off of, and I'll just go from there. Let's see what else we got. Let's jump back to boxing real quick. I'll just throw this to you, B, because you're the Max Kellerman, the black Kellerman of the show.
So I'm the black Max Kellerman and the black Jay Billis, huh?
And people follow boxing too.
Yeah, people follow boxing. Yeah.
But yeah. So Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder fight in 2008.
18.
Yeah. So you think they're gonna fight?
The way I'm hearing from. Of course, you know, this is all people talk from their camps. But the way Anthony Joshua camp is talking, they like Deontay Wilder don't want no smoke. He don't want that smoke. Like he trying to act like he want that smoke, but his people saying he don't because, you know, all the other previous fighters, you know, whenever they want to fight Anthony Joshua, they sign on the dotted line quick. And, you know, Deontay Wilder took care of his business. And you see Anthony Joshua took care of his business in this previous fight this past Saturday. And they say still nothing is signed from Deontay Wilder yet. I think it's probably because maybe Deontay Wilder probably wants to fight here in the States and Anthony Joshua kind of want to stay there in Britain because they have bigger venues, they make more money, blase, blase, you know, whatever. But that could be the issue. But I would like to see it. I would like to see in November, sometime in like November, them two go at it because now Anthony Joshua has three of the belts and Deontay Wilder only has one. So that'd definitely be for the unification of the whole entire heavyweight division. The IBO, WBO, WBA, like all those belts would be online, which that'd be dope to see. Two undefeated fighters fighting for all of the belts like that. Man, like that would be so dope to see. That would be a great, that would be a good look for boxing. Opposed to the Canelo and Triple G being bad for boxing, I think that would be a great look because, you know, decades ago, heavyweight was like the end all be all of boxing. Like, yeah, we got some great middleweight fights and some welterweight fights in the 80s and 90s, but heavyweight was the division that carried boxing for a lot of decades. So I think a fight of this magnitude, I think would be dope to see. If not, you know, I will hope that we would get that sometime in early 2019 if it doesn't happen this year. But I want to see it. I want to see it. I definitely, this fight right now in boxing, the two fights I want to see the most right now is that I would like to see in the near future is Deontay Wilder against Anthony Joshua and Terrence Crawford against Errol Spence. Errol Spence Jr. I would love to see those are two fights. I'm like, I'm just like at the edge of my seat. If that happens, I'm buying those fights right off rip. If those both of those fights happen, so hopefully so, man. But you know, Anthony Joshua, he looked real poised in this fight, opposed to with Deontay Wilder, kind of like Deontay Wilder, like he was losing a little bit of steam. And I don't know if that was from the power of Ortiz, because Ortiz is a lot more power than Parker opposed in that fight. So I want to see it happen. What you think, FIFO? You want to see that fight happen?
You know, B, this is why you the Black Kellerman for the show, because I don't know these guys like that. Like I don't always know every single boxer. So
don't let me start naming some guys who I think y'all should be on the lookout for. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I already know. I follow boxing, but I don't follow it like I do basketball or football. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I just be watching, and then when I catch a name, you know, I remember that guy and I kind of follow him here and there, but I don't know the boxing world the same way you do.
So you haven't even seen Anthony Joshua fight or nothing? Or Deontay Wilder?
Nah.
Oh, man. Look up some clips. Just type up, go on YouTube and this guy, they got some of their full fights on YouTube. Nah, yeah, look up like Deontay Wilder's last like five fights and Anthony Joshua's like last four or five fights. Oh, yeah, man. Trust me. This is a matchup you want to see. Like I said, both of these guys are undefeated. They like, I think one is 39-0 with 38 knockouts. Another one is like 27-0 with like 25 knockouts. Like I think this past fight, this was the first fight that Anthony Joshua didn't have a knockout. He went the full 12 rounds. But yeah, man, these guys, they knockout ratio was amazing. The fact that they undefeated is amazing. No, I mean, no draws or nothing. Just straight up wins and zeros. Like, somebody will have to go if these two fight. So I want to see it. Be great for heavyweight.
Well, there you have it, folks. Black Kellerman.
Black Kellerman, y'all stupid.
Start thinking, because I want to rank the rookies. You know, I think we did this earlier. You guys want to do top five or 10?
Do five.
Do NBA five. Rookies? All right. Yeah. Start thinking of your five. We'll close out the show with that. Tiger Woods, man. I told y'all Tiger Woods back. I told you Tiger Woods was coming back. B, what do you think? You think he has a shot at winning the Masters this year?
I don't think he's going to win. And I'm not saying I'm rooting against him, Ken, because you know how I've been harsh on Tiger Woods. I still think.
You ain't.
I still think, and I hate it. I wanted him to catch Jack Nicklaus' majors record, but I just don't think he's going to catch him. Will he win another major before he hangs it up, you know, retire, you know, which that probably might be 10 years from now, whatever. You can play golf until you up in age. I could see Tiger winning possibly two more majors before he finally hangs it up, but I just don't think he's going to win this upcoming major that's coming up. I will give you this, Ken. I think he'll finish like top five, top six. He'll get close. He'll get up there, which would be a good confidence booster for him. If he can be competing for a chance to get a green jacket, but just come up short, I think that'd be a good confidence booster for him, but I don't think, I give him like a 30% chance of winning it. I give him about 30%. That's it.
I don't think he'll win it, but like you, I think if he finishes strong and he's close, I think Tiger will definitely use that to boost his confidence. I mean, that's really, you know, what I think he's lacking. And I know he's been hurt and, you know, he had a spinal fusion, which is crazy. Like to have a back surgery and here you are competing for a Masters. Like, who does that? But apparently Tiger does. So for me, man, I think for him, his thing has always been confidence, man. Like when the world is looking at you in a negative light, the way they did when news broke of what happened with him and his infidelity. And then, you know, they had him pictures of him DUI and all kind of other stuff. you know, that's hard on a brother, and he went down in the worst way. So for him, it's all about being able to compete to win. And coming close, I think that would – I mean, the golfers are already scared. Like, they're nervous because they don't want to see Tiger coming back. Like, some of the things that they're saying is crazy. Some are offended that Tiger is a favorite. But that goes to show the impact that Tiger has. So I think I really want to see what happens with this to see how.
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting. I'm gonna definitely watch on Saturday and Sunday. I don't really watch them the first two rounds. That's just for the guys to make the cut. But I'm gonna definitely check out some of the nines or the back nines on that Saturday and Sunday, man. That's especially if Tiger's in the running. If he's like, you know, 3-4 strokes ahead, behind from the leader, going into, you know, Saturday and the Sunday, you know, Sunday, that's going to get pretty interesting. But it should be interesting. I mean, if he don't get it, Ken, you know, it's still 3 more majors left of the year. Yeah. So, get a major. So, you know, it's just the first one.
Well, I'm black, so I ain't watching unless Tiger in it to win it.
I mean, it's funny now, because now that I golf, it's like, not I watch it. I watch golf almost for like a different reason now, because I try to pick up pointers.
You know, it's crazy. When I covered golf when, you know, back in the 90s, late 90s, yeah, I had to watch it a lot more then, just to kind of understand a little more. And, you know, it just I kind of got into it, but, yeah, I fell off big time. But I feel you. I'm gonna start hitting the tees or whatever y'all call it.
that's what it is, hitting the tees. Yeah, hit it. Yep.
Yeah. So the MLB season kicked off. You know, we did our fantasy baseball draft. So we're here now. I'm excited for this year. I'm curious to see, mainly because I'm not a Yankees fan, but them signing Stanton, with them already having Judge and Stanton already knocking a home run out the park like in game one. Like, I'm really, really excited to see what happened. I think we got a crop of young talent coming in baseball. Ronald Acuna Jr. Here in Atlanta. They should be calling him up later this month, and he's supposed to be dynamic. You got Willie Calhoun, who's supposed to be great. They should be calling him up in Texas later. So I think we're starting to see some more brothers in baseball, and I'm excited to see what they do. So for baseball, man, like, it's kicked off. We're going to definitely try to cover more baseball. I'm still, you know, it's always hard to find storylines in baseball the way they occur in football and basketball. But, yeah, man, like, I'm really curious to see what the Yankees do this year. They got to the World Series and lost. Can Houston repeat? Will the Dodgers finally, you know, get over the hump? So, yeah, there's a lot going on there. So, what about you guys?
You know what I'm noticing, man, with some of these announcers now, or like just baseball period, it's like now they be so worried about these pitchers getting like 40 pitches or 50 pitches in the game. It's like, dude, that's still you about 4 innings in when you still at maybe your pitch count is like at 45 to 50. Dude, man, this pitch used to be pitching up to like 90, almost 100 pitches before you start to worry about them. I feel like these announcers are getting soft on these pitchers, man. I don't know if this is like the so-called post-steroid era, and they, you know, back then maybe a lot of pitchers was juicing up back then or something. I don't know, but I feel like these announcers are so soft on these pitchers now, man. I'd be like, dude, this is the freaking top of the third. He got 40 pitches. Big deal. So what? He can tough this out and, like, you know, and fight it out. Like, can you imagine, like, someone being concerned of Randy Johnson pitch count at 60 and he's in the sixth inning? It's like, dude, that's nothing for Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson, no frail self, going to pitch his way out that and still give you, oh, he's about to fight. He's about to face Barry Bonds for the third time. So freaking what? Guess what he did? He made Barry Bonds pop up the other two times. So, like, these announcers now, man, they get soft on these damn pitchers. I don't like it. Like, I hate that. Like, let these pitchers pitch. Let them pitch until these hitters start cracking, you know, hitting, getting more hits and getting doubles and singles and stuff on them. Then you worry. If you get down into the seventh inning stretch or the eighth inning, then you can kind of worry about the pitch count if they're hitting the 120, 125 pitch count, which is a lot. Now, that's a lot. But damn, don't be freaking out when these pitchers get to 45 pitch count. Jesus Christ, these announcers, they getting soft on these pitches, man. I don't like it. But yeah, you're right, though, Ken. I've noticed that this season that I'm seeing a lot more brothers. That's pretty good. I think that's great. I think that's great. We're getting a lot of more, get some more African-American representation in football, because that was big in the 90s. You know, the 90s, you know, that's why even coming up Detroit, it was a black kids like myself. I mean, you know, interested in playing. It made us interested in playing baseball. Like, I played baseball. Like, I played baseball a lot, you know what I'm saying, growing up. So, kind of a sport I wish I kind of stuck with, you know, going into my high school and college years. But, yeah, man, like, I noticed that. We starting to see more, you know, young black males in there, man. Hopefully that can kind of inspire some, you know, black kids. You know, I would love to see it would be dope for us to have like another Ken Griffey Jr. type star. You know what I'm saying? To kind of really encourage some of these young black kids to kind of, you know, try baseball, man. Baseball is fun, man. It's fun as heck to play. I know it's a torture to watch on TV for folks that maybe tried to give baseball a chance. But going to a live game is pretty fun and just playing it. Like, if you're playing it, man, baseball is hella fun, man. Like, it's so much fun. So, yeah, I'm always excited to see what baseball brings. It's just a long season. I just always wish it was a shorter season. I think it would make up for some much more intense baseball. But, you know, 160-something games, a lot of freaking games. But that's why they got the longest money and the most guaranteed money. So, and, you know, I'm always want to see what my Tigers going to do, man. I hate they're not playing the Braves this year. I always look and see if my Tigers playing the Braves here, but not this year. So hopefully next year. But yeah, man, I look forward to catching baseball whenever I catch it. Of course, I'm in these last 3 or 4 years, I've been in it a lot more because playing fantasy baseball with you, Ken, and meeting everybody. So, you know, of course, my ears are a little glued a lot more now that I'm in fantasy sports of it. But yeah, it's just a good way to keep it going. I'm thinking about joining like a little softball summer league this year or something, man. Like, I like playing baseball. I miss playing it.
Oh, that would be fun. I think I'll be down to do that.
Yeah. They got like a lot of little co-ed softball leagues, man, that I'm like, man, that'd be cool to play in. Like, you know, dust off my glove, man. I got my glove here and everything. It'd be good to dust that off and play some softball, man.
But yeah, to your point about pitching, pitchers rarely go over 200 innings now. If they do, that's great. But yeah, Randy Johnson had a season where he pitched 271 innings, and that was in 1999, and he would average.
And it was like no way that dude was doing steroids, because he was about 115 pounds,
6 foot 10.
yeah,
menacing. But yeah, and I misspoke. The Astros and the Yankees did not play in the World Series. That was the championship game, but it was the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series. So that's that. Last bit of news. This broke before we went on. Brandon Cooks was traded to the Rams. They didn't get Odell Beckham Jr. Do you like that trade for the Rams, FIFO? I know you're big on the Rams offseason moves. What do you think about this one?
Oh, I like this, and I don't think this stops them from getting Odell Beckham. I think you can still trade, you know, two first round or whatever the Giants want and still get him. Obviously, eventually you're going to have to pay all these people, or you're going to have to just make decisions. But at the end of the day, you know, for a 1-3 year window, you want as much talent as possible. And I still think that they could make a Odell Beckham move. And if you put Trayvon Austin, Brandon Cooks, and Odell Beckham, oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness! I don't know how you defend that. What's the name back there? Oh my goodness! I don't know what you do with that. But even if they don't get him, obviously they needed an over the top guy, somebody that could get behind the defense, especially with Jared Goff showing he has some arm talent and obviously the progressions he's made. I like it. I definitely like it. Again, it's not Odell. But if this is where the offensive weapons stop, I'm good with that. They definitely have upgraded. But I say be aggressive. Still go get Odell. Why not? Odell, you can sign Odell to a major contract and he get hurt again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, also, too, you forgot two people. They got Robert Woods at receiver and Cooper Kupp at receiver. Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah. I would still go get him. That's just not a bad thing. It's not. I'd rather have too much talent than not enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like the gun. Listen to the podcast. Is the mic still on?
Man. I think I remember what we was talking about on there too. That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah, it's a good move. Goff has more weapons, so we'll see. I think for me, what I found interesting about it is that the Patriots definitely have the widest receiving core in the league now because they got Hogan, Edelman, and Gronk. Like, Jesus. they done got rid of the brother, man. Man, oh, man. I tell you. Damn. Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, all y'all brothers out there, you know, I don't want to be that guy. But y'all, and don't be letting the white boys, not them, don't let them cook you. Don't let them cook you. Jordan Nelson, that's different. Ed McCaffrey, that was a little bit different. Them boys.
Travis Kelce, different. You know?
Yeah, Gronk is different. Edelman and Hogan got speed, but come on. Anyway, I love my white brothers, the non-racist one. but anyway, all right. So let's close this show out, man. Next week. We'll get into some MVP talk, six man, some of the awards. So we'll do that next week because the season should, for all intents and purposes, be over. So we'll know what's what. But before that happens, because more than likely we'll do Rookie of the Year, I just want to look back on this rookie class. And now that we pretty much have a full season, just kind of go back and rank the top five. I think this was a year where we've seen a lot of rookies play more than we've seen in the past that I can recall. And I think we have a lot of names that we'll definitely see a lot more of as they develop and carve out roles in the future. But there were definitely some big-time players that played big-time minutes on some teams. And so we want to go ahead and give our top five rookies right now in the NBA. B. You got your list?
Yep. All right, of course. You want me to start from 5 to 1 or just do 1 to 5?
Let's do suspense. Do it from 5 to 1.
This fool says suspense.
Yeah, let's keep.
All right. At number 5, I have Jason Tatum.
He's lower than he was last time, isn't he?
I forgot what I ranked him. We ranked him before.
Me too. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I got Jason Tatum at 5. You know, him coming in, you know, of course, Gordon Hayward was supposed to that was going to be his role for this season, and him getting injured the very first game and Jason Tatum stepping in and playing big minutes, playing big roles and not afraid. Hey, got to give props to that. So I got to put him just based off that. You know, you sticking a guy that was pretty much going to back up Gordon Hayward, and you're like, look, nope, we going to get these keys to you for that position. So there you go. And I think he handled himself well throughout the season, man. So Jason Tatum at number 5. At number 4, I have I think people are going to be shocked that I'm not going to have this rookie in here, though. But at number 4, I got Kyle Kuzma.
Oh.
Yeah, man. I like the fact the way him and even when Brandon Ingram was out, I think Kyle Kuzma came in and filled in those shoes well. And he played well with Brandon Ingram as well. And Lonzo Ball. He played well with Lonzo Ball when they was out there balling. I got him at my number 4. At number 3, I've always been high on this guy. He's been a ball. I like this dude. Dennis Smith Jr. from Dallas Mavericks at number 3. Dude got crazy. He got great footwork. He got good offensive arsenals. Athletic. If he can just get the jump shot a little bit better, I think he's going to definitely be a threat because he's already fast. Dude, I guess his only downside is that he's an undersized guard. But other than that, I mean, hell, Kemba Walker do it. He do it just fine. So Dennis Smith Jr. at 3. At number 2, got Davion Mitchell at number 2, of course. And of course, number 1, Ben Simmons. I mean, it's Ben
Simmons. You too? Because I already know. Simmons.
Ben Simmons, man. I mean, you know, at one little point, maybe for like a week, just 1 week in the NBA, Ken, I was like, okay, Davion Mitchell going to be rookie of the year. But
Donovan Mitchell,
yeah. In one week in the NBA, I was like, okay, this dude is playing lights out. Like, this dude is the rookie of the year. But Ben Simmons, dog. Ben Simmons. It's for him to lose at this point. I think he's already pretty much going to be crowned the rookie of the year. It's just for him to lose it, which I don't think he will. Now we got like less than a week left in the NBA season. So, yeah, that's my five, man. I got Ben, Donovan, Dennis Smith Jr., Kyle Kuzma, and Jason Tatum.
You falling for the Ben Simmons propaganda. Okay.
And right. Propaganda, man. Dude is a baller.
It's an agenda,
dude is almost
man.
Averaging a triple-double.
So is Lonzo. And he suck.
That was people surprised I didn't put him in there. I know a lot of people was gonna be. I know people that's listening probably gonna be surprised I didn't put Lonzo in there. But I like Kyle, man. I think Kyle had that spark under him, man. And then especially what you and FIFO told me about him when y'all went to LA game and watched, and y'all were just saying like, dude, that dude Lonzo just, you know, like the fans even see it. Like he plays like he don't care.
They love Kyle, man. If Lonzo had what Kyle got in him, oh my God. Now that would be scary.
We've seen it in stretches, though.
Yeah.
We've seen
it
in stretches for Lonzo.
We've seen it maybe in one stretch or maybe two. I don't think he's had that many games.
Hey, look, let's not
maybe
forget
10.
His third game, he got a triple double, became the youngest player to ever do that. So, look, man, the man got game now.
That count for something.
Triple doubles come a dime a dozen now.
Oh my God, get out of here.
Oh my God.
Just because the players are more skillful, don't hold that against them, Ken. Thank you for proving my point.
Man, what's your five?
Well, actually I went 10. You know, I'm the talent guru over here, so I had to go 10. Number 10, I got Jared Allen from the Brooklyn Nets. Number 9, I got Josh Jackson. And on these lower ones, I won't talk about them, but I'll just name them. Number 8, I got Lauri Markkanen. He's been balling.
He should
be a little bit higher on the list, but he's been a little bit inconsistent. Number 7, I got Lonzo Ball. Number 6, I got De'Aaron Fox, and he's been hitting some game winners. He's been doing some things. Number 5, Dennis Smith Jr., man. Like B said, you know, he reminds me a lot of the franchise. If y'all youngies that don't know who I'm talking about, that's Stevie franchise.
Steve Francis,
man. That he got a lot of Steve Francis in him. And I definitely think the jumper will get there. They all get better with the jumper. You know what I'm saying? And he has the good foundation. So definitely, and he's averaging almost 20 points a game. I think he's at like 18 a game. So he's getting buckets. He's only going to get better. Number 4, I got Kyle Kuzma. That dude, I think he was the steal of the draft. He showed that he's NBA ready. Now, I don't think his ceiling is superstar, but I definitely think he can be an all-star a couple years and maybe a perennial all-star. We'll see how much more he adds to his game, how much more consistent he becomes. But he's definitely the steal of the draft. Number 3, I got Jason Tatum. Look, coming out of Duke, I didn't know if he had that level of dog in him. And he's proven to everybody. Obviously, he's gotten his opportunity with Gordon Hayward injury. And he stepped up, obviously, you know, up and down as a rookie. But I think just in terms of his body, and he could arguably be the second best player out of this draft. I think Jason Tatum has that much potential. Number 2, I got Donovan Mitchell. See him play in real life, man. Donovan is serious. And I think that the thing I took away when I watched him play against the Hawks was his poise. You know, often I think it's a quality trait of ball handlers that you can't speed him up. It always seems he knew what he wanted to do and when he wanted to do it, and you couldn't get him off of that. And that's big. And I like that. And obviously he has confidence, man. He kind of is like, nobody knew, but he knew that he should be the rookie of the year. And he played like that all year, man. He put everybody on notice. But I just hope he's not going to be a Tyreek Evans. So we'll see. And Ben Simmons, you know, shit. I've been talking about Ben for how many years now? I've been saying he's the next Bron. And we're seeing it. I think he has, what, 11, 12 triple-doubles as a rookie, most as a rookie. I think what he's averaging has only been done by Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson as rookies. He's in rarefied air, and the sky's the limit for him because look at what he's doing without a consistent jumper. You know, same thing we said about Bron. Oh, my God, look at what Bron's doing. He can't even shoot yet. And look at what Bron's doing now. He can't shoot. So imagine, you know, 5 to 8 years from now when Ben Simmons becomes a knockdown shooter from some range. I don't know how you guard that. I really don't. You know, I at the beginning of the season, maybe I was a bit early saying that he was the best passer in basketball. He's definitely not that, so I'll eat my words there. I'll definitely eat my words. But he's amongst the best passers in basketball, and that's for damn sure. I think sky's the limit, man. I think the league is honestly going to be him and Embiid. And I think Philly is lucky to have the next faces of the league. Both of those guys are charismatic in their own ways. Both of those guys have gained beyond their years. And if healthy, these guys can be a dynasty. They are the beginning of a dynasty. That's how you build a dynasty. You got to draft them. You can't buy them. I keep trying to tell y'all, man. Keep trying to tell y'all GMs the game. Y'all don't want to listen. Go ahead and listen to the Dead End Sports podcast because that boy FIFA will be putting y'all into something. But, yeah, man, Ben Simmons number one.
All right. Yeah, you've been pushing that that Ben Simmons propaganda, that agenda on this show for some years now. So yeah, I mean, you know, the brothers prove you to be right, so can't knock you for that. You know what, I added an extra five because I think this class is definitely talented enough, and I think we definitely have a new wave of future NBA stars and superstars, and for NBA fans, just good as basketball players to come out of this class. And who knows, man, we may look back on this class like we did in, you know, the 2003 draft, or, you know, the one that had Jordan in it, the 84. Yeah, 84 draft.
84 and 96. 90,
yeah, 96. Like, this may be on that level. So I like Jared Allen a lot, but I went with Bam Adebayo. Just looking at what he's done over the season, like, I think he's shown enough raw talent at the five position to be able to get rebounds, block shots, those big hustle points. I like him a little bit more than Jared Allen. I like Jared Allen's size, but I like Bam just for what he's able to do. I think he's a little bit of a throwback to me when I think about him. And he got to the point where, I think they feel like they don't need Whiteside. As crazy as that sounds. And Whiteside has made that known. He's been complaining a lot about his minutes. So I got Bam. I'm with you guys on Kyle Kuzma. Not going to add too much more to that. I like Lauri Markkanen, if I said that right. Under the radar, man. Under the radar. He's just been balling in Chicago. Markkanen. Yeah, Markkanen. And nobody's really been talking about him, but once he got in that starting role, he never let it go. Now he's been hurt lately, but yeah, he's going to be a good player. Atlanta got a good one in John Collins. He's been hurt, but they finally unleashed him, and raw talent, but I think he's definitely going to be a good player in years to come. Man, De'Aaron Fox, man. Like if Lonzo had some of that in him, we'll be looking at a different guy. But yeah, De'Aaron Fox, man, shows no fear. And he definitely will definitely evolve. That organization is just crap, man. And they just haven't done right by any of those players there. So, but yeah, but he shows promise. He shows promise. Josh Jackson. Nobody said Josh Jackson. I'm surprised. And he started off rough, but lately now that he's got.
He was on my list.
Okay. Yeah, Josh Jackson is actually, when I had my five, I was starting with him. I have him in the fifth spot because he finally looks like he's figured it out. And he's showing his NBA talent. And of course, he's in a bad situation in Phoenix, too. So, four is Jason Tatum. I don't need to elaborate more. Dennis Smith. I like Dennis Smith, man. Definitely a baller. The Knicks are going to regret that. All right. So now, the top two spots. Man, y'all know, man. Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is that dude. I'll admit, he's definitely finished strong. You know, moving down the stretch, showing he can lead the team, showing what we didn't get a chance to see that Donovan Mitchell showed all year when he became the man. But I got him first. I put Donovan second. I had to give it up, y'all.
About damn time.
I had to give it up, man. Ben Simmons, his season has gotten better, and he's finished stronger than Donovan Mitchell has. Donovan Mitchell is still playing well, and he has moments. But it seems like to me Ben Simmons is gaining momentum, and I'm starting to really see him blossom. And I didn't really quite see that early. Like, you saw the talent, you saw the numbers. That was undeniable. But the confidence is up. His arrogance is up a little bit. Like, he's dunking on people. He's yelling at folks. Like, he seems like he's a different type of player now. And so, man, yeah, I like the brother, man. I do like Ben Simmons. I don't like to hate on the brother. I do like him. But earlier this year, it was Donovan Mitchell's to lose, and I think he lost it. I hate to say it. And I think that Ben Simmons deserves it, and I think it would be a crime if the brother didn't win Rookie of the Year. I concede. So that's it.
Appreciate it, Ken.
I can see, man. Yeah, that was tough, man. That was tough. But yeah, I can't knock the brother. Ben does a lot more. I think there's a 5-point difference between the two. Donovan's just a pure scorer, but Ben's just all over the place. So anyway. all right, man. That's gonna do it for us, man. We're gonna get out of here. And you guys tweet us, leave a comment, let us know what are your top 10 rookies or top 5 if you want to do top 5 in the NBA for this year. And that's it. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace. Damn. OKC lost that game.
Oh, to Golden State?
Yep. Wow.
So Russell haven't beat Durant yet since he's been to Golden State, right?
I think they're 2-2. Yeah. Oh, he beat them the first two games. Yeah. Yeah. He beat them the first two games of the series, and they lost the last two.
Oh, okay.
No Curry. Man. They got to get Anthony involved more, man. They really do. They really got to get Carmelo involved.
You know, man, the first year is always that third guy that has the biggest struggle adapting, man. And especially you think about a guy like Carmelo that's averaged 20-plus shots a game for his entire career to take that third seat. That's tough, man. And then, you know, Billy Donovan, Ken, you're right, too. It's a wrap. I don't think that he's the right coach for that situation. You know, and it's easier said than done, but they got to find them a Brad Stevens, man. And I know that's tough, but to make that work, that's the level of coach that you need. You know, I would even say Spoelstra, you know what I'm saying? But obviously
that would be good. Money. Yeah. Man, Westbrook had 17 in the third. 17 points in the third quarter. God dang. Melo went 0-9, dog, from 3.
Damn.
And they going to need that, man. They going to need that. They going to need Melo in the playoffs if they really want to make a run.
Hell yeah, they going to need him.
I think he's the S factor to me. He's the X factor when he's put, and that's why I think they should get him involved early. And once they get him involved early, Russ will always get his. Paul George is already playing off Russ. You get Melo involved early, you'll have him late down the stretch. But I don't know. Anyway, man, that's crazy.